Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. We are up to book 6, chapter 13, and that one goes a little something like this. One night, when the old countess, in nightcap and dressing jacket, without her false curls and with her poor little knob of hair showing under her white cotton cap, knelt, sighing and groaning on a rug, and bowing to the ground in prayer. Her door creaked, and Natasha, also in a dressing jacket with slippers on her bare feet and her hair in curl papers, ran in. The Countess, her prayerful mood dispelled, looked round and frowned. She was finishing her last prayer. "Can it be that this couch will be my grave?" Natasha flushed and, eager, seeing her mother in prayer, suddenly checked her rush, half sat down, and unconsciously put out her tongue as if chiding herself. Seeing that her mother was still praying, she ran on tiptoe to the bed and, rapidly slipping one little foot against the other, pushed off her slippers and jumped onto the bed the Countess had feared might become her grave. This couch was high, with a feather bed and 5 pillows, each smaller than the other one below. Natasha jumped on it, sank into the feather bed, rolled over to the wall and began snuggling up the bedclothes as she settled down, raising her knees to her chin, kicking out and laughing almost inaudibly, now covering herself up head and all, and now peeping at her mother. The Countess finished her prayers and came to the bed with a stern face, but seeing that Natasha's head was covered, she smiled in her kind, weak way. Now then, she said. "Mama, can we have a talk?" "Yes," said Natasha. "Now, just one on your throat and another, that'll do." And seizing her mother round the neck, she kissed her on the throat. In her behaviour to her mother, Natasha seemed rough, but she was so sensitive and tactful that however she clasped her mother, she always managed to do it without hurting her or making her feel uncomfortable or displeased. "Well, what is it tonight?" said the mother, having arranged her pillows and waited until Natasha, after turning over a couple of times, had settled down beside her under the quilt, spread out her arms and assumed a serious expression. These visits of Natasha's at night, before the Count returned from his club, were one of the greatest pleasures of both mother and daughter. "What is it tonight? But I have to tell you." Natasha put her hand on her mother's mouth. "About Boris, I know," she said seriously. "That's what I have come about. Don't say it, I know. No, do tell me." And she removed her hand. "Tell me, Mama, he's nice." "Natasha, you are 16. At your age, I was married. You say Boris is nice. He is very nice, and I love him like a son. But what then? What are you thinking about? You have quite turned his head, I can see that." As she said this, the Countess looked round at her daughter. Natasha was lying, looking steadily straight before her at one of the mahogany sphinxes carved on the corners of the bedstead, so that the Countess only saw her daughter's face in profile. That face struck her by its peculiarly serious and concentrated expression. Natasha was listening and considering. "Well, what then?" she said. "You have quite turned his head, and why? What do you want of him? You know you can't marry him." "Why not?" said Natasha, without changing her position. "Because he is young, because he is poor, because he is a relation, and because you, yourself, don't love him." "How do you know?" "I know. It is not right, darling." "But if I want to," said Natasha. "Leave off talking nonsense," said the Countess. "But if I want to." "Natasha, I am in earnest." Natasha did not let her finish. She drew the Countess's large hand to her, kissed it on the back, and then on the palm, then again turned it over and began kissing first one knuckle, then the space between the knuckles, then the next knuckle, whispering January, February, March, April, May. "Speak, Mama. Why don't you say anything? Speak," said she, turning to her mother, who was tenderly gazing at her daughter, and in that contemplation seemed to have forgotten all she had wished to say. "It won't do, my love. Not everyone will understand this friendship, dating from your childish days, and to see him so intimate with you may injure you in the eyes of other young men who visit us, and above all it torments him for nothing. He He may already have found a suitable and wealthy match, and now he's half crazy. Crazy, repeated Natasha. I'll tell you some things about myself. I had a cousin. I know, Cyril Matveevich, but he's old. He was not always old. But this is what I'll do, Natasha. I'll have a talk with Boris. He need not come so often. Why not, if he likes to? Because I know it will not end in anything. How can you know? No, Mama, don't speak to him. What nonsense, said Natasha, in the tone of one being deprived of her property. Well, I won't marry, but let him come if he enjoys it, and I enjoy it. Natasha smiled and looked at her mother. Not to marry, but just so, she added. How so, my pet? Just so. There's no need for me to marry him, but just so. Just so, repeated the Countess, and shaking all over, she went off into a good-humoured, unexpected, elderly laugh. Don't laugh. Stop, cried Natasha. You're shaking the whole bed. You're awfully like me, just such a giggler. Wait. And she seized the Countess's hands and kissed a knuckle of the little finger, saying, June, and continuing kissing July, August, and on the other hand. But, Mama, is he very much in love? What do you think? Was anybody ever so much in love with you? And he's very nice, very, very nice. Only not quite my taste. He's so narrow, like the dining room clock, don't you understand? Narrow, you know, grey, light grey. What rubbish you're talking, said the Countess. Natasha continued. Don't you really understand? Nicholas would understand. Bezukhov now is blue, dark blue and red, and he is a square. You flirt with him too, said the Countess, laughing. No, he is a Freemason, I have found out. He is fine, dark blue and red. How can I explain it to you? Little Countess, the Count's voice called from behind the door. You're not asleep. Natasha jumped up, snatched up her slippers, and ran barefoot to her own room. It was a long time before she could sleep. She kept thinking that no one could understand all that she understood and all that was in her. Sonya, she thought, glancing at the curled-up, sleeping little kitten with her enormous plait of hair. No, how could she? She's virtuous. She fell in love with Nicholas and does not wish to know anything more. Even Mama does not understand. It is wonderful how clever I am and how charming she is. She went on, speaking of herself in the third person, and imagining it was some very wise man, the wisest and best of men, who was saying it of her. There is everything, everything in her, continued this man. She is unusually intelligent, charming, and then she is pretty, uncommonly pretty, and agile. She swims and rides splendidly, and her voice, one can really say it's a wonderful voice. She hummed a scrap from her favourite opera by Cherubini, threw herself on her bed, laughed at the pleasant thought that she would immediately fall asleep, called Dunshaya, the maid, to put out the candle, and before Dunshaya had left the room, had already passed into another yet happier world of dreams, where everything was as light and beautiful as in reality, and even more so because it was different. Next day, the Countess called Boris aside and had a talk with him, after which he ceased coming to the Rostovs. All right, there we have it, another chapter down. And it looks like Boris has been kind of nudged out of the Rostovs by the Countess. It was difficult to say exactly, but it seems like the Countess is even protecting Boris from making a poor financial move with this marriage. Maybe she knows about the extent of their debt and how bad their financial problems really are. Thunder Perfect said, Boris obviously wants to marry for the sole purpose of financial and social upward mobility, so obviously the Rostovs' money troubles would have made Natasha a completely unlikely match if Natasha wasn't Natasha and didn't seem to turn every man around her into putty in her hands. I think Natasha is in love with the idea of love and takes infatuation to be love, especially since every man returns her easy flirtations. However, we know she and Boris have a past, and I'm sure that plays into their feelings more than it does for Natasha with most men. It does seem like Boris has sort of forgotten himself here. Natasha has that ability to overthrow a man and wrap them around her little finger. To me, it does seem a lot more like infatuation. they made this promise 4 years ago, and that probably grew and grew in Natasha's mind to be something more and more important. I think she's had her heart set on it for a long time, so it's what she really wants to happen, but everyone around them seems to know that it's not the best match. But luckily, Mama Rostov is kind of fending away Boris, and I think that might be in big part due to the fact that Vera is getting married and they can't afford the dowry for that. So another marriage of one of the daughters is just financially not possible. They've got nothing to offer. Reddit user Biscuit Potter had an interesting contribution. It went like this. Oh boy, I can contribute something. That thing Natasha is doing with her mum's hands and naming the months, it's a little mnemonic for remembering how long each month is. You just go in order, and if you hit a knuckle, the month has 31 days, and if you hit a crevice, it's a shorter month. There you go. That's a very interesting contribution. Thanks, Biscuit Potter. I thought it might be something like that, like some little game that you play to remember the names of the months or something like that. I didn't know that it would actually inform you of how long the months are as well, so that's kind of cool. Now, one thing I was going to ask you guys about is if anyone's checked out the Patreon page, patreon.com/A Year of War and Peace podcast, I'd like some feedback on that. I've never really done a page like that, and I didn't set up rewards except for the highest tier because I wasn't really sure what would be good ideas for that. I was thinking we could do thank you notes, bonus material like bonus podcasts just for members or for supporters. Sometimes people will do like Skype calls with the creator and that kind of thing. I'm not sure if there'd be anyone interested in that. But have a look at it and chuck some comments into the Reddit page about this chapter, or you can tweet me or however you want to contact me, and let me know if you've got any suggestions for that. I'm really interested to hear. Other than that, that's going to do us for today. Thanks very much for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.